Hello and welcome back to Idol Talk. In this episode, we discuss the songs we just can't get enough of, whether they're new releases or just new to us, from some of our faves in the K-pop industry. This episode will cover Rush Hour by Crush featuring J-Hope of BTS, New Thing produced by Zico featuring Homies, and Heartburn by Sunmi. Stay tuned because we got you covered with the K-pops.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley and I'm very excited for Stray Kids' 7th mini album releasing on October 7th. They just released the teasers today and the album is called Maxident. Maxident?
Accident with an M?
I don't know. It's spelled M-A-X-I-D-E-N-T. Maxident? I don't know.
Well, I guess you'll have to find out after the concepts get released.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. It's Casey. I have a K-drama recommendation for everyone. Ooh. Though I will say this is an ongoing series. That means episodes are being released weekly on Viki. So if you want to wait to watch it when it's all out because you like to binge, or you're glutton for pain like me, it's only on the episode 2 right now.
I am not glutton for pain, just FYI for the listeners.
So the show is called Love and Contract. It stars the girl from What's Wrong with Secretary Kim, and I forgot the other thing she's in, but she's a very Her Private Life, and there's other ones, but she's very...
She was in City Hunter with Lee Min-ho.
Yeah, she's a big shot. She's been around. Yeah. And then I don't know the other two, the male lead and the second male lead. I don't know who they're from. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling. It's so good. The concept is that she is a wife for hire. So affluent men can hire her to pose as their wife. For events or to save face. And then some of them she'll marry for real, like if there's an inheritance on the line or something like that. Yeah, it's a very weird concept, but she does it so classily and beautifully that it doesn't feel as weird and gross as it does sound in if it were to be a real life situation. But she's so good, and now I'm so committed to both of the male leads. I don't know what to do. So please, someone watch it with me. Let's suffer together.
Is she in a relationship with both of them, a contract?
No. So one is her, teenage arranged marriage, because she's the daughter of a wealthy family, and then the second male lead is the son of another wealthy family. They were going to marry them together to build that connection, as rich families are wont to do. And then she said no to the arranged marriage and then got disowned and has been marrying herself off ever since. And then the male lead, the leading male or whatever, he is one of her clients, but one she has great affection for, and she's starting to fall for him. And he is falling for her, but he's got a complicated story that's still developing, so I won't say anything about it. It's
right. Well, good. Since the episodes are still getting released, we'll just wait to see how this progresses. Yeah. I'm interested to see if you're gonna like the ending or not.
That's where it dies for me.
Because that's always the question.
It's starting off really strong, so that means the ending's gonna be terrible.
Yeah.
That's what it usually means. Because you like it so much, right? All right. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We got another round of K-bops for you all. So we're just going to jump right in. Casey, actually, we'll actually start with you.
Oh, okay. Yes. So my recommendation is the latest release from Red Velvet Joy's boyfriend. The song.
I was wait, what? I just had okay, sorry.
Nathan thought for a second I was gonna I switched my rec from.
I thought you were like just completely going off like.
The outline.
No, this is. It's important that his title and role in the K-pop world is explained properly. He is Red Velvet Joy's boyfriend first and foremost.
Yes,
100%. 100%.
And the song is called Rush Hour. It's by Crush featuring J-Hope of BTS. So this song came out 4 days ago, so 26th, so September 22nd, and it's Crush's comeback, and it says featuring J-Hope of BTS, but feels very much more like a collab. Yes. Like instead of a feature, it should be Crush, J-Hope of BTS, because it felt like a J-Hope song. Like, it felt very much his style, and that Crush, I mean, it's kind of disrespectful to be like, it's more like Crush is featured, but they're both, I feel like J-Hope was very tasteful in how much screen time he got, and his outfit for the music video, because Crush was more visually, like, in your face, and then J-Hope was in, like, browns and neutrals, so he wasn't as, like, stealing the spotlight in a way.
Yeah.
The song is like very, very much a hip hop song. Mm-hmm, it's funky. Mm-hmm. I heard it described as boom bap rap, which when I looked up what does boom bap rap like mean, it's a noun, boom bap is a noun, which is used in hip hop culture to represent a subgenre of hip hop. Boom bap was popular during the golden age of hip hop from the early 1980s to the early 1990s. And that's according to dailyrapfacts.com. Thank you, Daily Rap Facts, for that rap fact. But that is the perfect description of this song. It's funky, it's fun, it's got some sick like bars. They really go hard, and not just with the song but with the choreo. So everyone is doing the Rush Hour choreo. I saw the P Nation boy group. What are the TNX, I think they're called.
Everyone's working for Crush.
Yeah, everyone's promoting the song, doing covers. And while I was watching the covers, part of me was thinking, like, this is not a TikTok challenge dance, because the choreo is hard. It moves fast. And I mean, that's why the only people covering it are actual dancers and, like, people who keep up with it. Because there's parts that are so fun to do, but I cannot do it. Like, yeah, that part. Also, speaking of the choreo, the choreo incorporates some iconic moves from BTS music videos. Not just music videos, but the choreo. Like, the one that stood out to me was, like, the mic drop. There's, like, a mic drop move, like, right before the choreo for the chorus starts. And there's other ones too, but I didn't write them down. But just watch it and you'll see.
Did J-Hope choreograph it?
No, I don't know if he... Okay, so that brings me to my next point. So Crush has started this series on YouTube called Black Vox, where he picks... different artists up in his car, and then he like drives them around and has conversations with them.
Fascinating. Wait, how long has he had this?
Just now. His very first episode was with J-Hope to talk about the song. So
is it going to end with J-Hope? Is this a one-off?
It says episode one, so it leads me to believe that he has an intention of having an episode two. Otherwise, why title it episode one? You know what I mean? I hope he does more, because it was really interesting to like hear their conversation and to watch him like pretend to drive. Like, we know
he's not actually driving.
No, it looks like he's actually driving, but we all know for safety and production, like, they're actually attached to another car.
You just see like one of the, like, the P Nation rookies just like pushing the car. Like, well.
But so they were talking about the song. And in this episode, Crush said that he made the song for J-Hope and approached him about it. And then J-Hope raved about how he, first off, he was excited to get a message from Crush because he respects him as an artist. And like, Crush has been active for like a decade now. So, and he's very iconic in hip hop. And then when he heard the song, J-Hope said it was totally his style and he liked it immediately. And then later they were talking about the choreography and Crush said this was his first time that he had a performance style song that came with like choreo. And he was so frustrated because he said he practiced diligently every single day for 2 to 3 weeks to learn the chorus part of the choreo. And J-Hope was shown it once and he had it memorized in 30 minutes.
I mean, that is the difference between someone, the two artists, I would say. So, like, that's great that Crush is pushing himself out of his comfort zone and showing so many different sides of himself.
Yeah.
When I was watching the music video, part of me was wondering, how many times did J-Hope make them re-record a portion because he wasn't satisfied with one of the with how hard people were hitting the dance moves? Because
is J-Hope realized, a perfectionist like that?
Yes, he is. Like, have you? I don't know if you've. Okay, the one of the biggest reasons why I'm a J-Hope bias is because of his face when he's concentrating and re-watching choreo before approving it. To like when they're recording like music videos, for example, and it's he's got this like intensely critical, like focused look that's kind of scary and intense. Like, oh my god, if he ever looked at me like that, I would have a fucking meltdown. I'm like trembling.
Y'all remember when TXT had just debuted for like the whole year, and there's like reaction cams to like BTS watching. Like, I don't know, 5 3/4 or what was the song? 4 3/4 or something?
9 3/4
And Runaway, like, the TXT song. And then J-Hope is just, like, looking very intently, not really all that, like, impressed, not trying to give away too much. And then, like, on the other hand, you see Jungkook being like, keep going. I imagine that when Casey was describing it.
There's this video where they're playing, J-Hope and the other members of BTS are watching a playback of one of their scenes for a music video where there's a lot of choreography, and you could see the other members like looking at J-Hope's face trying to gauge his reaction. And there's like a point where something in J-Hope's face like shifts, or he says something, and all of the members instantly know they're going to have to redo that section. Aww. And, like, it just, the camera, like, zooms in on their individual reactions. And I'm just like, wow, it must, like, his drive for perfection and focus is what I love about him. Also, Crush even acknowledged it. He said that when he brought J-Hope into the studio, he was really impressed and intimidated because J-Hope had like a concentration for almost 4 hours with no breaks, redoing his parts, being like, oh, I can do that better. Let's start it from the beginning. And Crush was like, yeah, I had to ask so that we could take a bathroom break because I had to go.
Wow.
That's great.
I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, J-Hope says that when he's asked to feature, he wants to be sure to be extremely respectful of the artist's quality and time, because for him, it's really an honor to be asked to feature, especially like as a solo artist. He just came out with his solo album, so he's like really paving his way into K-pop by himself. But he also still goes by J-Hope of BTS, so he's not always alone, and he still gives homage to BTS as a whole because of like the references in the choreo, and also he always says, I'm J-Hope of BTS.
I thought the J-Hope of BTS was like a contractual thing because
you think so?
Yeah, because probably. What's his name? Yoongi. All his features say featuring Suga of BTS, and even that new RM track where he's rapping says RM of BTS. So I just thought that was like their
And Jungkook of BTS for his left and right Charlie Puth.
I thought that was like contractual.
Oh, it probably is. I just really like love to romanticize their intentions always. But yeah, this song is an instant bop. I thought it was so fun. That funky bass line. It's just so, it makes you smile. And the outfits are such a fucking sore. Like, it's an eyesore. None of the outfits were good, in my opinion. But the song and the choreo are so good that it distracts you from how bad the outfits are. I hated all the pants.
Yeah. They were like dated, but I think they were going for a vibe.
Yeah. I mean, if the if the style of the song is like 90s hip hop.
Yeah.
Then that makes sense.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Crush's dance tutorial of the choreo, because there's no audio in the back. He's posting this on Instagram. There's no audio in the background, and he's like doing the moves, and also like it's just so cute, because like you can obviously tell that he's not a dancer, but he's really trying hard, and he looks so dorky doing it, but that's also what makes it endearing.
Yes, he's so endearing.
Because that's his MO.
He feels earnest, and it also is like clear that he is really comfortable laughing at himself. He doesn't take himself too seriously, which makes him cuter to me.
Yeah.
I want to circle back to this comment that Casey, you made at the start, which was, I want to be a fly on the wall in, the J-Hope and Crush dance practice room. But more so than that, I want to be a fly on the wall in one of Crush's and Joy's dates. Like, yes, I just want to sit there and observe their interactions. Like,
what do they talk about? What do they do?
Because I love them.
What's their favorite food to eat?
They're still together because
we would have heard if they broke up.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we didn't hear when Jenny and GD broke up. That's true. Suddenly she was dating V. So
wasn't that unsubstantiated, the G Dragon and Jenny thing?
I thought that.
Yeah, that's unsubstantiated.
I think we can't expect to know if a couple has broken up if they've never publicly claimed the relationship to begin with.
Yeah, I think they're still going. Like, he just came back from the military. If anything, their proximity is much even closer now.
Yeah. All sources say they're still dating. I haven't found anything to indicate otherwise.
Well, great.
For the listeners who don't know,
Ashley, well, great.
Is dating Red Velvet Joy as of August last year. They started dating after their collaboration on...
Oh my gosh, just sweet, sweet humans.
Yeah. I stan them. I stan them so hard.
I stan them so much too. I love them together.
I hope they get married and they have children and they just live happily ever after.
I'm waiting.
Rebel Loves will be okay if Joy gets married.
Oh, yeah. We support it.
I can only speak for myself, but...
You're speaking for both of us, Nathan, because I agree with you.
Yes.
Great. My last note on this, my recommendation / this music video, Crush says that there was a lot of like A, E, I, O, U sounds in the in the song. So as they were editing the music video, Crush was like dying inside because every screen grab of him was like this ugly... He says it was a wolf face because it looked like he was like howling at the moon like a wolf, like this.
Oh.
And he just like had like a dumb facial expression all the time because of the how he says the rap had a lot of like O sounds and E sounds.
I love it.
And then he was like, oh yeah, but whenever you looked at J-Hope's face, it was perfect in every screen.
Mm.
And it just is it. It kind of drives home your point that he isn't necessarily like a choreo, like performance artist. He raps. And J-Hope is used to having to do it all and, like, look perfect at the same time. So that's why his facial expressions were more controlled rather than Crush's wild abandonment. I thought it was so cute. And it just – and it also reflects in their dance moves. Crush is very, like, loose. He's not hitting the moves harder. He's not going as far, whereas J-Hope has, like, length. He has – you know, he's animated. He's got a lot of movement in every step.
Yeah.
And it was fun for me to observe the differences of these two artists, but then they come together and the sound that they make, it makes sense for the both of them despite their differences.
Yeah.
Very fun. 10 out of 10.
Crush is really showing a different side of him. I almost see him as he's a ballad singer.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So this was like a big surprise to me, a pleasant surprise to me. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I'll say about this is these are the types of collabs that BTS should be doing. Like, no disrespect to anything else that they're doing, but these are the types of collabs that at least I'm interested in.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
More, please.
That's it from me.
That's it from me.
Okay. Thank you, Casey. Ashley, you're up.
Yes. So my recommendation was released on September 6th, 2022, and it is Zico featuring The Homies, and the title is called New Thing. 잘 되면 셀럽, 못 되면 평생 we 셀럽, 내 개성은 시대를 안타깝습니다. 나는 셀핑, 모든 게 다 셀핑, 옷에 옷을 걸쳐도 브랜드 묻는 데 입. I'm too sexy, 헌집 두고 셋째, 프리미엄이 붙어 두 배, 세 배, 네 배, yeah. This song was released with the show Street Man Fighter. And for those who don't know that show, it's a Mnet survival show where 8 like legendary dance crews fight to be like the top dance crew. Think America's Best Dance Crew, but just like in Korea.
So, like the Jabberwockies.
Yeah, like the Jabberwockies. Iconic. It's so awesome because these 8 dance crews are like legendary in K-pop. So a lot of them are, so there's 8, half of them, I would estimate half of them are like street dancers. And then the other half are like choreographers. So one of the groups is YGX. Another, YGX choreographed like a lot of YG's groups music. Another one is 1 Million Dance Company or crew. They're the ones on YouTube with like the white room that you see all the dance videos in. They have a dance academy. Members or the people that choreograph at that studio choreograph a lot of SM title tracks. There's a crumping group. There's like a whacking group. Whacking is like voguing. Like,
oh, okay.
And then there's some other groups like We Them Boys is another choreography group. There's a group called Ambitious, and that was a dance crew formed by a survival show on Mnet. So like, the prequel of this TV show was called Ambitious, where they created a dance crew, and then that dance crew got to perform on Street Man Fighter. Anyway, back to my rec. So one of the competitions on this show was a unit competition where all of the groups get divided into like a leader group, a main dancer, sub dancer, and rookie group. And then each group gets a song. And the song that the leader group got recommended was this song, Zico New Thing. And all of the leaders had to create like 30 seconds of choreography for it. And then whoever got the most amount of votes got to be the choreography for the main group. And then they recorded a music video, and the leader who choreographed it got to be like the main center of the video. So for this song, the leader who won was Vata from We Them Boys. And Vata is, Weed and Boys is known as like the trendier group of choreographers. Vata or like the people in his crew have choreographed Super M, Tiger Inside, 17 Hot. So they're like, they're known as like the people to go to if you want like a trendy choreography for your title track. Yeah. So yeah, this TV show is really fun. There's currently 5 episodes and I'm only on episode 2, but yeah, I feel like I'm learning a whole new side of K-pop that I've been interested in, but I haven't, like, this gives me, this like organizes all of the information for me and then like presents it in like a really digestible way. Like they have all of the dance crews really popular in Korea and in K-pop, and then they tell you exactly who they are and like what their style is and who they've choreographed for and like,
yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So like I started getting into K-pop choreography back when Baekhyun released Candy, and that the choreography for that song was done by, I think, Casper, who is a teacher at 1 Million Dance Company, and that group also is on the show. And I remember seeing like people from 1 Million Dance Crew in Baekhyun's music video, so. It's a lot of fun if you guys like dance. I really recommend the show. Go ahead, Nathan.
Okay, so what's up with NCT's involvement? Oh,
so I discovered this song because I saw Jisung doing a cover.
So many people.
Doing a cover of the winning choreography for this song. And now it's like a viral, it's like a TikTok dance.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing it.
It's a TikTok dance, but it's specific for TikTok dancers. Like, this is not the type of dance that you do if you're just like the average like person. You gotta be legit like a dancer in order for it to make, to look cool. Cause there are a lot of very intricate moves and you have to have a lot of swag. So Jisung really sold it for me. And then ever since I saw that video of him covering it, like, I went down the Street Man Fighter rabbit hole. And now Taeyong and Mark have done it. Kong Daniel is the host of the show, and he does the video, the dance, like, to, or the dance cover, like, 10 times on his Instagram, all with different members of Weed Up Boys. Like, it's viral.
I like it.
Yeah.
Nice. That's well, fun. Ashley, we're going to have to do like a full review of the show once you've finished it.
Yeah.
Is it ongoing?
Yeah, it is ongoing.
Oh, okay.
One thing.
Did you watch Street Woman Fighter?
No, I didn't. But
okay, maybe you'll have to do like a comparison of the two or something.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Please work hard.
Yes.
Any other thoughts on the show? On your rec?
Yes. Well, the last thought I have is about the show. So
yes.
the judges of the show, at least for the first couple episodes, are Eunhyuk from Super Junior, BoA, and then a member of 2PM. I forget his name. But these three people are amazing dancers, and they're also older. Like, they're not new generation K-pop. Mm-hmm. They're old generation, which is very telling of like the contestants of the show, because a lot of new dancers aren't experienced and they wouldn't be winning like the type of dance battles that they do on the show. The people who compete in this show are like very, very experienced dancers. One of the groups called New Jerk performed at the Pyeongchang 2018 Winter Olympics. Like,
oh, wow.
They're all like international winners for competition.
So like, this is a survival show, but this ain't no rookie show.
No, it's not. Like, one of the main dancers in 1 Million Dance Crew, he's 40 years old.
Oh,
wow. Okay. right. Yeah. That's so cool. Lots of life experience.
Yeah. So they're the caliber of people on this show are like next level.
Where can I watch this?
I got to link you. So I've been looking around town trying to find like.
Oh, it's not on any of the streaming sites?
No, unfortunately. But I have found a channel on Dailymotion, the app.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. So
here we are, Dailymotion.
Dailymotion.
That's all right. Okay. So Ashley, we'll look forward to updates about the song and the show to see how viral it gets and the outcome of the show, too.
Yeah.
Okay, looks like it's my turn then. My rec is a little bit older, but this time, but I feel like I really wanted to talk about it this time around, especially because I just went to her concert a couple weeks ago, and I've been playing the song nonstop before and after the concert. So my rec this time around is going to be Sonmi's Heartburn. So in Korean, this song is Yori Olayo, which means like fever. Literally, it means like fever is rising or like the temperature is rising. Yeah. So this was her latest summer release. And I have some alliteration for you all. You ready?
Oh my God. These are physical notes he's holding. This is real paper, everyone. Go ahead.
So this is Sunmi's summer single, and I will describe it as something that I feel is sultry, sassy, sentimental, summer bop.
Love that.
I would say late summer.
Late summer bop.
Cusp bop.
Yes.
Yes.
So like I feel like it's actually a really good, I mean, in Southern California, it has been hot in September. Like it was the hottest month of the year, I feel, and I needed the song to cool off. But anyways, the song, as per the title, kind of talks about someone that she loves so much that she's kind of developing a fever and she actually has heartburn. So that's what the song is trying to depict. It's a very, late summer / fall song if you watch the music video. I think the most, like, iconic thing about the song is probably the color of her hair.
Yes, gorgeous.
Yes, it's
like
beautiful.
Orangish ginger.
Yeah, like orangish, like red.
And it's so long.
Yeah.
Yes. Long, very noticeable. I think I read in somewhere that she did take some inspiration from Ariel. from the Little Mermaid.
Love that.
I got the vibe. So I thought that was cool. But I think that this was a very different release than I'm used to from her, which I really liked. And I thought that it worked really well. And I think she's really, if she wasn't already, I think she is establishing herself as someone that's just a strong, like, female artist.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that kind of represents that. And like online, she's kind of known as like the heroine of K-pop, kind of referencing one of her singles that she has.
Yeah.
She also, as a pre-release to this song, came out with Osaria, which was released on International Women's Day. So on Spotify. So like she's getting some kind of reputation for really just being like a strong female role model, which is always really cool. Something that I learned going to her concert was that one, Wonder Girls, she still cares about them because she's like, oh, I know you guys all miss Wonder Girls. Like,
yeah. Wow, cute.
She didn't say that they were doing anything, but like she was like, yeah, I miss them too. And mind you, I went to a karaoke bar last week, as I showed you all in the chat, and people were singing Wonder Girls.
Nobody,
doing the claps.
Nobody but you.
Yeah, they're doing the claps and the leg raises, and I was like, well, it's a timeless classic, right? So, like, they debuted in 2007. So she's been around.
Been around, yeah.
For a real long time.
Yeah.
And
staple.
Her first solo debut song was in 2013, which was, like, a decade ago.
Wow.
So, like, she's gone, she's, like, had this really wonderful career. And, you know, she just finished off her LA leg in the forum, and the energy was good. Like, full house, like, everyone was yelling for her. People brought light sticks, people dressed in theme. Like, I could tell that people really appreciate her as an artist. And she really deserves all the success she's getting.
Yeah.
I guess I have a couple of more fun facts / things that I appreciated. So I went back to watch a lot of the live stages, and there's two things that I really liked. One was the incorporation of, like, the quote-unquote Asian fans. So she incorporated, like, a lot of props into this choreography and stage set, which I was really like. Sometimes, like, the props can get a little too much for me and it takes away from the dancing, but I feel like this worked really well. And then the other thing, literally my favorite part about the choreo or the live stages, is when she plays jump rope. So have any of you all seen it? Like, she's almost playing, like, it's almost like, what is, like, is it called Chinese jump rope? What we used to,
like,
play
double,
in elementary school?
Like, double dutch? Is it?
Not double dutch. It's, like, with the strings.
Oh, where you have to, like, jump through them? Or
not with your hands, though, with your feet.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember
is
the
it
moves
called
exactly.
Chinese jump rope? Okay,
there is a Chinese jump rope.
Yeah, I think it's called that. Anyways, it's of that style. It's not exactly like that, but she's kind of just, like, jumping around. And it's just, like, really fun to watch.
Yeah.
I played that part on loop today, like, maybe 3 or 4 times before proceeding on with the choreo. So everyone watch that part.
Okay, link us.
And then I will say the last thing is she uses the exact same dance team in her live stages in Korea that she brought over to America to do stages with her. And her team, who was awesome, their name is Aura. So that's her dance team. And okay, I will say, though, that I recognized all the girls, but not all the guys made the tour, the tour cut. Because there were only 2 guys on the tour, but there were a lot of other guys in the Korean life stage, like on Music Bank or something.
Yeah.
So she probably had to make some decisions there. But for the most part, like, I'll say this for the live stage that she did in Korea for Heartburn, but also, like, mainly for the live show that she did, the backup dancers were 10 out of 10.
Yes.
Like, for sure, they were 10 out of 10. And at the end of the concert, she gave them, like, each their moment to kind of, like, take the stage or whatever, which was really cool. And she was like, I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but she was like, "You go show them."
Yeah, she did.
She said, "Show them."
Yeah.
And then the dancers would be like, "Show them what?"
They would do, like, like, then, a 5-second dance. And,
like, freestyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, like, throws off people, obviously, sometimes. And I don't think that, I mean, they're probably expecting it because the LA leg wasn't, like, the last tour leg, right? Mm-hmm. But I just loved it when she was like, "Go show them right now."
Yeah.
And then they'd be, like, all timid.
I've never seen another K-pop act do that at one of their concerts, like, feature their backup dancers so prominently.
Yeah.
So heavily, right? Like, to give, the encore was basically for them,
right?
Not for her.
Right.
Which directed more
that was nice.
Light back to her. But it just, I thought that their backup dancers were the highlight of, you know, not only the live stage here, but also the live stage of the show. But yeah, interested to hear if anyone else had any thoughts about it. But I thought this was just a really great release from her.
Yeah, I agree. The song was very much Sunmi and vibey. I approve and agree with the designation that this is a late summer, early fall bop, because it's vibey, but it's also colorful and bright, so it's not, like, super cold weather ready yet. Anyway, as I'm watching this music video, okay, I'm so distracted by her, entranced by her. She's so beautiful, and she's almost, like, casting a spell. She's, like, bewitching you as with her dance moves, because she's just so freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans to this man And I'm still, I'm watching this in the living room. So Cody's like right there, my fiance. He's playing games. And I go, a white man. I was so startled by this man's presence in the music video. And Cody's like, are you okay? And I was like, this man is white and he's got blue eyes. And he was like, and Cody is a white man with blue eyes. He's like, okay. And I was like, I was just startled. And my whole issue throughout the music video with every subsequent man she appears with, I'm like, they're not nearly as hot as her. And that's what like pulling me away from it, was because I was so distracted by how these guys were not on Sunmi's hotness level. And they were also very diverse. Like, it was a white man first, then like maybe a Latino or Italian looking man, and then a black man. And I was like, what's going on here? And then come to find out the twist at the end, she's a black widow. Like, these men are all her husbands that are like being killed, by her kiss or something. Oh. It was, and then I was like, okay, I approve of this now, because they're not permanent husbands that she's in love with. They're like victims of her poison, I don't know. But it was a wild ride for me.
Well, mind you, last time that her backup dancers were a little bit too good looking, they appeared on what was the Korean show? Island show.
The one.
Oh, goodness. Not Fire Island. Something else. Singles Inferno.
Yes.
So.
Oh.
He was not on the tour anymore. So. Yes.
Well.
So maybe these backup dancers have really good track records. Or
they were like, we need to tone them down for Sunmi. They're way too hot.
Yeah. Anyone else have any thoughts before we close out? All right. Nope. Well, I think we got some really good hits here. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at IdolTalkPod. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcast directories and streaming platforms. And if you have any feedback that you'd like us to cover, we're available through email, idoltalkpod@gmail.com. And then also at our content directory, idoltalkpod.uwu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, information about us, and different playlists that we've curated. Until next time, we'll talk to y'all later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.